Welcome to Bonus Audio from IFR Refresher, written for instrument pilots who care passionately about staying proficient. This month, IFR Refresher's Meredith Saney speaks with Ben Berman, former chief of major aviation investigations at the NTSB, currently a 737 captain and co-author of the book, The Limits of Expertise, which explores the human factors involved in more than a dozen air carrier accidents. Here's Meredith.
Ben, welcome.
Thanks very much.
First, I'd like to talk to you about your experience working at the NTSB. When did you serve in that role, and what are a few of the key lessons that you took away from it that are relevant to general aviation pilots?
I started out at the NTSB in 1990 after having served as a regional airline pilot for quite a while. Third airline went bankrupt, and I had to find a steadier job, so I was lucky enough to get on with the NTSB because of some experience I'd had working safety through my pilots union. So I went to work there, and I think I was the first pilot to come out of the cockpit in many, many years, out of an airline cockpit. And it was great because I could bring my real-world flying experience to the NTSB, and I learned a lot about accident investigation there and was able to participate in a lot of safety activities. Learned a tremendous amount there, and what I think I could bring out to the listeners from AVWEB is basically an aviation accident is just a terrible, terrible trauma. It's something you just never want to have happen. I think everybody knows that, but when you get involved in it, even in the kind of semi-distant way that an accident investigator gets involved in it after the fact, you see just the trauma that it does to the people involved, anybody around them, their families. So we just do everything possible to have a safe flight and steer away from it.
Sure. Ben, our March quiz deals with the procedures for reporting the ugly truths of an airplane accident or an incident should something happen. We as pilots know that rule number one is fly the airplane. But after it crashes, what's rule number two?
Well, if you have an accident, now you've come to a stop, and the thing you want to do, first of all, is evacuate the airplane and get everybody involved in the accident to a safe place, away from the wreckage, and then see to the safety of the people involved, any first aid that's necessary, notifying people to come and help you, and take care of the living human beings. Assuming that worked out okay, your job as a pilot is to secure the wreckage and make sure that nobody messes with it.
Right.
The next job would be to notify somebody in an official capacity. I mean, you've already notified search and rescue to come save you. And then after this is done, you're going to have to notify. Mostly notifications of accidents are given through the FAA. So you would contact a local FAA FISDO office if they haven't responded to you.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't happen in a tower-controlled field, you're going to have to notify somebody. If something bad happens at a place where there's a control tower, they're going to start the ball rolling.
Sure. Is it a good idea for pilots, even at their local airport, to maybe have the airport manager's phone number or something in their cell phone, something that they could call upon quickly in a case like this?
Yeah, that's a really good idea because the airport manager's voicemail will have numbers to call in an emergency in case it's after hours, so that'd be a good one to start with.
Yeah. What are some common mistakes that pilots make after an accident occurs?
After you've done all the notifications of the appropriate agencies and you've made sure that you and your passengers are safe, at this point you want to take a step back. You've just been through a very traumatic event, and you should probably spend some quiet time thinking about things. Don't rush into any public statements to the media. You need to cooperate with any authorities that come by, but try and avoid any statements until you've contacted probably an aviation attorney.
Mm-hmm.
After an accident has happened and the investigators are done, then the legal process begins. And so if somebody has an airplane accident of any magnitude, they're going to be in court for a long, long time. And you want to be very, very careful how you approach public statements or any statements to anybody, and probably get an experienced aviation attorney involved very quickly. A person who's involved in an accident is going to have to file a report with the NTSB called a Pilot Operator Accident Report, and it's basically your description of what happened. It has to be done within a specific time frame. It does not have to be done that day. So you do get a chance to reflect and gather your thoughts, and then you're going to put down what happened and how it could be prevented in the future. And then actually, in most general aviation accidents is going to be the basis of the investigator's report. It's pretty much how you remember it is going to say a lot about what the eventual findings are from the NTSB, because there are no flight recorders and there's often precious little data available. So your recollections and descriptions of it are going to be very important for preventing these things from happening again.
Good advice. As was mentioned earlier, you're the co-author of a book titled The Limits of Expertise, which explores some of the human factors that are involved in more than a dozen air carrier accidents. You yourself are an airline pilot. Even though this book was focused on airline crews, I found that there are many valuable lessons in it for general aviation pilots. What are some of a few that come to mind to you?
Well, I'm glad you found the book useful for your flying, and we certainly published it for all pilots to read and benefit from. And the book basically is a chance for me as an airline pilot and accident investigator to work together with some very, very dynamic and insightful and deep thinking cognitive psychologists, people who have done research and writing about the ways that humans process information. And they've done a lot of work involved with aviation before. Their names are Ketis Muke and Lucia Lukopoulos. We formed a team, and we basically took a re-look at all the big airline accidents that happened over the past 15 years, where the NTSB said the pilot, part of the flight crew, was causal to the accident. So we said, okay, what was going on in these accidents? And took a different view from what the NTSB was able to do. They were trying to worry about why did these particular pilots at that moment do or not do the things they were supposed to do. Well, usually you can't tell exactly why somebody did or didn't do what they were supposed to do at that moment. What if you had 10,000 other pilots put in the identical situation, or even just the same pilots put in there on a different day? Would you expect them to do pretty much the same thing based on how humans think and process information? And we found out that very, very much of the time, you could kind of understand what happened during the flow of an accident by thinking about what our normal human limitations on memory and attention and processing information are, kind of a way of explaining what happened during the accidents. So our book contains 19 case studies of the big accidents. What are the lessons for us as general aviation pilots? Well, I think that a lot of it has to do with, number one, recognizing that we are all subject to basic limits of our ability to think and do. And so once we're aware of that, if we feel that we're starting to get overstressed or overwhelmed by information coming at us from every different direction, or not enough information, or things to do, or not enough things to do, all kinds of things that impinge on our minds as we're flying, if we're aware that we're subject to limits or subject to different vulnerabilities that are described in the book, then we can just kind of try and steer clear of those things. And how do we do that? I think one of the main things we can do as pilots, especially since we're so often flying in a single pilot, you know, by ourselves situation, with no first officer or co-pilot involved in our smaller planes, is to recognize that we have to manage our workload very carefully. If things are starting to spiral on us, or things are starting to snowball on us, we've got to recognize that and just slow things down. Take a turn away, take a vector, ask for a holding pattern, slow down. Or just, you know, switch on the autopilot, roll the seat back a couple of notches, and take a wide view of the instrument panel. So these are things we have to do to manage our workload and give our minds more time to work on problems.
So hopefully, if folks think about this stuff a little more, maybe we can avoid some of those accidents that we'd have to report in the first place, right?
Oh, definitely. Our goal is to have no accidents to report, so let's all work on that.
Good. All right, Ben, thank you very much for your time today.
You're very welcome.
Also in this month's issue of IFR Refresher, a review of full approach procedures and a discussion on how to fly GPS LPV approaches. IFR Refresher is packed with strategies and tactics from some of the nation's top CFIIs, airline captains, and corporate pilots who fly the system every day and really know what makes it tick. We suggest you pick up a subscription. You can do that online at www.ifr-refresher.com.